You're listening to Edge of Sports Radio with Dave Zirin.
Boom, we're back here on Edge of Sports Radio, joined by the coach, Kevin McNutt, me, Mark Barry. Our first guest from the NBA Hangtime blog, there's no one else I'd rather have on, and podcast, and there's no one else I'd rather have on, given the joy that I feel about the Washington Wizards going up 2-0. His name, Sekou Smith. Sekou, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Dave. It must feel good to be right this time. I mean, you nailed this Wizards thing. I'm talking about all the way back to the preseason, boy. It's
yes.
Gotta feel good.
I said the Wizards would finish with a better record than Brooklyn and the Knicks. And granted, a little asterisk as Brooklyn did the on purpose, we don't want to play the Bulls thing. Which actually...
Hold on, wait. Sekou, I feel slighted, man, because I said Wall was going to be the man, and you told me I was reaching, but Wall went 19-9. How many cats did better than 19-9 this year?
No. He balled this year, too. I mean, I'm bowing down to the show.
Mr. Sekou, question for you, sir. Before we get to any of this Bull stuff, I got to ask you, hot story, just because you know more about this than I do. The news has broken that there was a fight that involved actual punches and actual cuts between Lance Stephenson and Evan Turner before game one of the Pacers-Hawks
wow.
series. My question for you, Sekou, given what you know about the Pacers, who do you think the team is rooting for in that scuffle, or do they just hope they just beat the living heck out of each other?
Well, I'm sure the Pacers would love to see both of those guys, you know, the other guys in their locker room, see them both exit the premises at some point, man. When you're trying to win at the highest level, you can't afford to have knuckleheads around there worrying about minutia, you know, worrying about shots and locker room bravado. They, you know, the Pacers went through this once before, if you remember, with a team full of young guys that were really on their ascent. And it blew up then. I mean, you had Jermaine O'Neal and Ron Artest in there at the same time, and you had different guys trying to police the locker room and keep those two from getting into it all the time. It ultimately ended up costing them a chance to be an elite team for a long time in the league. So I think if they're smart, they won't, you know, they don't want anybody in their locker room that's taken away from the bigger picture, which is trying to be a championship team.
Do you buy reports that have come out that Frank Vogel is coaching for his job in this series?
I do. Unfortunately for him, I do. And, you know, not that a fist fight in the locker room in the NBA is breaking news by any stretch. You know, I do believe all of this turmoil and drama that's going on in there is legit. You know, when Roy Hibbert talked about there being selfish players in that locker room, he had very specific guys in mind. He didn't name them. And a lot of people got on him about even speaking out like that. But, it's crunch time for everybody at Indy. You know, and Frank Vogel knows it. His players know it. You know, Larry Bird is not a guy who's going to mince his words or, you know, or speak in hushed tones. He's going to speak directly to those guys and let them know what's on the line. And they got work to do. Even after last night, they still got plenty of work to do in this series.
Given that Larry Bird lived through the Artest era, were you surprised in real time? Now looking back, it's obvious that this was not a wise move, but were you surprised in real time about, for example, trading Danny Granger, very popular player, signing Andrew Bynum with all the red flags in terms of locker room behavior in the world? Was that something that for you was like, wait a minute, is this really smart given some of the chemistry issues, or did you like those moves?
I didn't like either one of them, but I understood what Larry was doing. You know, he's feeling the pressure of trying to win and win right now. You know, he's a guy who's watching the landscape around the league and recognizing that, you know, there are other teams in other places that are making championship moves, and if you sit by and watch other teams do it and don't do anything, you run the risk of being left out of that mix. And, you know, some gambles pay off, some don't. I think anybody buying Andrew Bynum stock needs to get a new pair of blue blockers because they obviously haven't been watching this dude perform the last few years. He is not that dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not
the
guy you build your team around. Evan Turner was a different risk. You know, it was – if it turns out great, if not, you know, you have options. But he's kind of Lance Stephenson insurance in some respects. So it's a very interesting mix to hear about those two guys getting into it because these are basically two guys fighting for one job next year potentially.
Now, you said you wouldn't buy Bynum stock. Everyone agrees with that. Let's just say you're a GM with a lot of money. Are you buying Lance Stephenson stock?
that's a great question. I don't know because I'm very wary of players like Lance Stephenson. Even and I sat down and talked with him this year in a one-on-one interview, and I thought he's matured in a lot of ways, and he's really kind of come into his own. But there's so much of an off the rails element when you're talking about a player who just cannot control his emotions on a given night. You know, mm-hmm. he can take a game and turn it upside down in a good way and in a bad way. And you don't win championships with too many guys like that on your roster.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd have to look long and hard over the last generation to find a team that thrived with players like that on it. Okay, let's get to what I care about, which is nothing that we've discussed so far, and that's the Wizards. So let's just play Am I Crazy? I'm just going to run through four things for you, Sekou, and let's just go through. Okay, thanks. All right, the Wizards are up 2-0, not just because they're younger and faster, but because Randy Whitman is out-coaching Tibbs. Am I crazy?
Yeah, I mean, it's not about necessarily out-coaching somebody, so you just have crazy. You Lance Stevenson, not Ron Artest.
I'm the meter. Nice work.
It sounds good, you know, but we all know Tibbs is working with something less than a monster offensive unit. And they're playing against a team that can beat you offensively from about four or five different angles. So there's not a whole lot he's going to be able to do to hide the fact that they don't have a big score, you know, to go to in Chicago. No offense to DJ Augustin and his family in New Orleans, but if he's your leading scorer in a playoff series, if he's the guy you're riding for big shots and to carry you offensively in a playoff series, you are not winning.
Yes, sir.
Not happening.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Am I crazy? The advanced statistical folks, and I've never discussed with you about how much buy-in you have on advanced statistics, say that Joakim Noah is actually the number one defensive liability in the first 2 games on the Chicago Bulls. Am I crazy, or are the advanced stats completely off the just nuts about this, and it's more about the load that Noah's being asked to carry?
You're not crazy. It's 100% about the load he's being asked to carry. Think about what he's facing on a nightly basis in this series. He's got Nene, who's coming after him, and then he's got Gortat, who's coming after him. He's dealing with double the load anybody else on that team could possibly deal with from the defensive, you know, standpoint. And the fact that he's such a good defender, and not just a position defender like guarding his guy, but such a good team defender,
exactly.
It's comical for the advanced stats to make him the scapegoat for what is the lack of defensive prowess for a lot of other guys on that team. If you think Joakim Noah is the biggest defensive liability after watching Bradley Beal serve up Jimmy Butler last night, again, call the blue blockers people and get another pair.
Yeah, and also when you have DJ Augustin on the court, who, you know, let's be honest, makes Johnny Manziel look like Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, you have Joakim Noah playing help constantly. To pick up Andre Miller, Bradley Beal, John Wall, and leaving his men open, which, of course, hurts his statistics. All right, let's get this on. Am I crazy? Am I crazy? The Wiz could make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, you look crazy. I mean, I love the guys. I love them, and they're young. But, you know, come on. You gotta get your nose bloody at least once or twice before getting all the way to the conference finals. You know,
who made that
we
rule?
We watched in Oklahoma City. Well, I mean, it's just the way it is. We watched in Oklahoma City when they had, you know, Durant and Harden and Westbrook in the younger stages of all of their careers. You don't get through that first time. You don't break through immediately. You put a scare in people. You know, you remember they served up notice back against the Lakers that, hey, you know, we're going to be a team to reckon with in the years to come. And I think the Wizards are going to have a similar journey this playoffs if they continue to play as well as they have. Where you put everybody on alert that, you know, we're going to make a couple more moves and do this and do that and mature and grow some more. And then in about 2 years, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So you need to be ready for us.
Am I crazy? Then coach has a question for you. Am I crazy? Everybody is now, just because the Bulls can't score, are saying, okay, Carmelo Anthony would fit in here like hand in glove. And yet I think about Carmelo Anthony and Coach Tibbs, and I see that absolutely positively not working because of the defensive demands Tibbs would make on Anthony. Am I crazy to say that Carmelo on the Bulls would be a disaster waiting to happen?
Yeah, and I think you're selling Carmelo short. You know, Carmelo's a better player, all-around player than he gets credit for. He's not a great defender by any stretch, but Tibbs has made a lot of guys serviceable on the defensive end. I'm sure with the talent Carmelo possesses, he'll find a way to use him and keep him on that string of defenders they have. And listen, is Carmelo a worse defender than Carlos Boozer?
It's very
you know what I mean? Ask yourself that. Boozer's a brutal defender, and he's at least been serviceable in that Bulls lineup to an extent. I think Carmelo in that structure and in that system with a healthy Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah is an Eastern Conference team to – you know, to be worried about for the next 4 or 5 years if they get it done.
Do you see that happening, Carmelo to the Bulls? If you're a betting man?
I think it's going to be hard to resist. I think it's hard to resist if you're Carmelo because you don't have the luxury of plotting your career for the next decade. You got to win and win big in the next 2 to 3 years because that window is rapidly closing for a guy who's, you know, hitting that 30-point threshold and going to be on the other side of that mountain. So he's definitely got to weigh those options.
Last question before I throw it over to Coach. I got to ask you this because everybody, including myself, when the Wizards drew the Bulls, were like, oh, boy, you know, this is not going to happen. The Threat Matrix, one website, had the Wizards as 15th out of 16 teams in these playoffs. I mean, just said that these guys have no chance whatsoever. And now they're dominating. Why did everybody get this so freaking wrong?
Well, because the narrative was that, you know, Thibs was such a great coach and the Bulls are such a vetted team that, you know, you negate or ignore, you know, the obvious benefits that the Wizards bring to the series. I mean, Washington's younger. They have bigs. They have to me, Trevor Ariza, you know, I've talked about that with other people. To me, a jack-of-all-trades player like Trevor Ariza becomes huge in this series because whoever Chicago's best offensive player is, Trevor Ariza is going to be able to guard him.
You guard DJ Augustine.
You're not going through Noah on offense. So whoever they were going to use as their offensive catalyst, you stick Trevor Ariza on him and lock him down, just like he did last night with Augustine. So I think too often we play into the perceptions of these series in the playoffs and what we think works best and who sounds the best. And we chase the analytics a lot of times. You know, John Schumann, my colleague at NBA.com, he sends us reams of information, you know, and video to watch and all this stuff. Man, look, I love Shu. He's my guy. But when I'm thinking about playoffs, I'm watching to see who steps up and plays big in big moments. Analytics can't help you when you're talking about being in that crucible.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. They don't have a tightening sphincter analytic. Yeah. Coach, you have a question.
Hey, Sekou, real quick. What was your take on the Bad Boys documentary?
Oh, man, I loved it. You know, I'm a bit of a turncoat. I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but I was a Showtime Lakers fan. My dad used to crow about Magic Johnson when I was a little kid and how great he was going to be. So we grew up in a household where you were a Showtime Lakers fan or you got out. And my dad used to argue with his buddies about the Lakers over the Bad Boys when they were coming up. But they won those championships when I was in high school. I was, you know, so I remember vividly how rabid, you know, Bad Boys fans were. I had a Bad Boys, the black Bad Boys Pistons t-shirt, like everybody else would go get one at the grocery store they were selling. I mean, it was a movement, believe me. And I thought they captured so much of that in that documentary. Yes. I know Joe Dumars, Isaiah, and Rick Mahorn, these guys now obviously in a professional capacity. So seeing them through my teenage eyes again in some of those shots in that 30 for 30 was just remarkable. I love what they've done with the 30 for 30. I commend, Bill Simmons and his crew for getting those done because to me, they have made some of these things, some of those stories really come back to life with the work they're doing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Marcus Dupree. I love that one. Hey, Sekou Smith, thanks so much for joining us on Edge of Sports Radio.
Thanks, Phil.
He is the best. Sekou Smith. Hey, we got to go to break right now. We'll be back right after this.
Dave Zirin will continue with Edge of Sports Radio after the break.